If you think the U.S. government is your friend and is pro your freedom and liberties and all of that fun stuff that you, you know, daydream about, well, this is the reality.
One of my concerns with this is there are a lot of companies who verify KYC information using things like video call, photos. This to me feels like a huge security gap for a lot of companies.
If your financial advisor thinks Bitcoin is too risky, then just listen to, you know, one of the world's most wealthy people who thinks that Bitcoin is unhackable and can't be broken.
Ignorant folks are just shuffling around within the same corrupt chessboard. To me, tells me that this is like an imminent disaster in the making.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I have Greer and Tony with me. Guys, let's jump right in. We've got up first Bitcoin Magazine. This is the headline: Tether is buying Bitcoin's revolution. How devastating will the consequences be? And one of the paragraphs really caught my attention. I'm just going to read the whole thing here. So it says, surveillance by proxy. Stablecoins promise fast, borderless payments. However, their architecture depends on compliance. Since December 2023, Tether has maintained a proactive wallet freezing policy for addresses sanctioned by OFAC. The company says it has frozen billions in tokens linked to illicit activity and now works directly with the U.S. Secret Service and FBI. Tony, this has been like your pet topic to share with the world, to explain, I think, what a lot of people think to be a convenient technology. And what they're really opting into is what you describe as a CBDC that's yet to be activated. Could you comment on this article, man?
Of course, man. I hope it's becoming abundantly clear to more folks what this scam is. If you think the U.S. government is your friend and is pro your freedom and liberties and all of that fun stuff that you, you know, daydream about, well, this is the reality, my friend. This has nothing to do with any of that. They don't care about you or your freedom. This is about their total dominance and control over, you know, the dollar. And they're going to do it by hook or by crook. Whether you suffer or not, they don't really care. Again, you don't matter. You don't even exist, you know, on their radar. Stable coins are 1,000% central bank digital currencies. They're not using those words, but this is exactly what they are. They are puppeteering Tether for now, which, of course, is, you know, the perfect prostitute, which is complying with absolutely everything. And now, you know, as clearly stated here, is in 100%, you know, cahoots with the U.S. Secret Service and the FBI. So what's different between this and a central bank digital currency other than the official name? Absolutely nothing. The dangerous part about this is that it's going to lull a lot of people to thinking, oh, cool, this is like so wicked. I don't need a bank. I don't need, you know, anything. I just dropped into my wallet. I can spend it wherever I want. Yes, for now, until, you know, enough people adopt it, and that's when the hammer drops, and then all of these liberties automatically disappear unless you meet specific, you know, check marks on their list. And this is when it's too late, my friend, because now you are literally that donkey that I've been talking about, where nothing about your life decisions, money-wise at least, are yours. You're going to have to beg for permission for every penny you spent. And if you don't spend it fast enough, well, they're going to force you, because then otherwise it's just going to disappear. So these companies are not your friends. Government policy is not your friend. You want to know who your friend is, there's only one. And that's Bitcoin in full self-custody. Why? Because there's no corruptible human being that can screw around with it. It's powered by energy. Its rules are math. No one can mess around with this. From now to the end of time, its supply is fixed. That's where you want to be. That's where you want to place your savings. You don't want to be stuck in any permission system. It doesn't matter what they call it. It doesn't matter if you like the people behind it. It doesn't matter. If there's a human being behind money, its value is zero, and you should stay away from it 100%.
Yeah, it seems to me like stablecoins have very limited utility in most of the first world, because we have a, you know, by global standards, a robust banking system. Most people aren't being turned off of their money today. And things like the Genius Act passing not only enable a buyer of U.S. debt, but also maybe give confidence to American consumers that they can begin using this as sort of an alternative to a bank account. And it leads people right into what can be very effectively turned into a trap. I think the other scary thing for people who do have utility, like in, you know, third world countries where they've got quickly devaluing currency much faster than the US, who are trying to get into dollars and use stable coins for that purpose. I mean, how many wars and skirmishes has the US been involved in over the last 100 years? If they want to sanction an entire nation and just turn off any addresses for the citizens of a particular country, it would be trivial. And it seems like Tether, who, as I understand it, I mean, they're based in El Salvador now, I think, and they don't necessarily have that compliance obligation, I guess, maybe to trade on Coinbase and some of the big exchanges, but they're cooperating instead of pushing back, which I think they should, if they were acting in good faith, would be. Greer, do you have anything you'd add to this?
Yeah, I think we looked at Tether at one point as thinking, okay, they're going to end the Fed, you know, because it really makes the Fed irrelevant. But Tether is a private central bank just like the Fed. So we're not really in a better situation. And what you said about them being able to control money, issuing debt backed by the dollar across the world, you know, this is how the US forces the world to use its money and offload its $38 trillion in debt. I imagine a world where Tether lives right next to Bitcoin. You can do that today with certain hard wallets on your phone. You can have an app where you can trade between these two. I think that ultimately people want to use digital money. Tether is, you know, sucking the oxygen out of the room from the Fed. And I think if you want to be optimistic, hopefully this will lead people into understanding that Bitcoin is better money, especially when they live side by side within an app. But I think we also, you know, as Bitcoiners, they may be buying Bitcoin, but that doesn't mean that they are on the side of freedom and sovereignty. So, you know, I think we're looking at this sort of as, you know, dark looming storm clouds, and, you know, all of the signs of a CBDC are right here. You know, they will have total control over how and where you use your money.
Yeah. Besides things like the Genius Act, which I think are intended to give confidence to people using things like Tether and other stable coins, the other wave, our next story here is I think the fact that the economy is getting so bad, people are fearful, people are trying to make ends meet. I think there's going to be some narrative that is going to be very easy to throw onto CNN, to Fox, and say, hey, this is why you should be moving to using something like Tether, and it gives them that new level of control. So the Bank of Canada just said it out loud, Canadians must accept a lower standard of living. Let's watch this video real quick.
And unfortunately, you know, what that means is that unless something else changes, our incomes will be lower than they otherwise would have been. They'll grow, but they'll grow along a lower, you know, this was the old path, now there's a new path, which is below the old path. There are things the country can do to try to bend that curve up, but those aren't things monetary policy can do. These are more structural changes. I mean, fundamentally, as a senior deputy governor has hammered many times, we need to get our productivity growth up. And if we can do that as a country, we can bend that curve up. So, I mean, I think what's most concerning is that unless we do, unless we change some other things, our standard of living as a country, Canadians, is going to be lower than it otherwise would have been.
Okay, so the Bank of Canada is admitting things are getting pretty bad. And then if we look at another story here, so this is Global Markets Investor. Market concentration hits a record. So the top 10 U.S. stocks now account for 41.4% of the S&P 500 market cap. Greer, I'm going to pause here because you were sharing something offline, a video that you had seen that sort of demonstrated the circular economy built by a lot of these tech giants. Could you explain that? And then, Tony, I want your commentary.
Yeah, I'll give a quick recap of what I saw. And basically, the video was describing how these tech companies are really using the same basket of money to purchase each other's services. So it could start out where one company creates a shell company and then takes on $20 billion worth of debt, purchases another tech company's chip cards, and on and on the circle goes, but the money stays the same. It's the same amount of money being passed in between these companies, and the debt doesn't fall on anyone's books because the debt's on the shell company. And so as people look at the valuations, everything looks great. And we're seeing these 10 stocks really take off. It's like all the weight on one stool of the leg. or one leg of the stool. And I think it's dangerous when this bubble pops. You know, this to me feels like something that you definitely have to be aware of. The PE ratings are extremely high. The stock prices have never been higher. So it looks like there's a lot of panic. Where do I put my money? And unfortunately, it looks like everyone's aping into these very risky tech forward companies. So I think, you know, as it relates to Canada, you know, you never want to hear a politician say that you're going to have to get used to living a lower quality of life. That is not an idea that anyone in the world wants to hear. So I think, again, the alternative here is to completely remove yourself from these risky games and find Bitcoin. And over time, your wealth will grow.
Yeah, it's scary to imagine, but I think that it sounds to me like 2008 meets like legalized Enron or something to that effect is what's happening in the markets. Tony.
Yeah, man, for me, this is very infuriating and disgusting at the same time. I mean, all of these people, what they're doing is that, first of all, they're not taking any responsibility or accountability for the mess that they've created. And they're just offloading the solution now to the people. Well, now you have to accept a lower standard of living because that's just how things are now. To me, that's disgusting. You know, people should be held accountable, you know, to the full extremities of the law. And the fact that, you know, ignorant folks are just shuffling around within the same corrupt chessboard, to me, tells me that this is like an imminent disaster in the making. If you have a problem on one side of the chessboard, you don't move to the right side of the chessboard thinking it's a better play. It's like if your bank gives you a problem, you don't go to another bank thinking it's a better solution. You opt out of this entire world. There's no direction on this corrupt chessboard that you can go in that's going to save you from its imminent collapse. The only solution is to opt out into something that they can't control. And again, there's only one. I mean, it's not like you have an open buffet here. The solution is extremely simple, yet for some reason, it seems like climbing Mount Everest. You learn about Bitcoin, you learn how to use it and manage it yourself, you opt out, you start saving in it, the real money, not this broken, corrupt, worthless toilet paper that, you know, everybody's, you know, scrambling around to get more of. This is the wrong play. So for me, it's very painful to watch this because I know how this movie is going to end. There's going to be a lot of crying and suffering and pain involved in this, and it's not something I want to see.
Yeah. And then Level 941 here tweeted, the economy is dying, banking crisis here, and he was calling for a full basis point cut. He says liquidity is tight, we have deposit outflows continue, regional bank crisis, they need 50 bips ASAP or dead. And I think this is sort of the game that I think Jerome, he went on, someone followed up. He said, Jay Powell better do what's right and not try sticking it to Trump. And I think that's what we've seen is this hesitation from Jerome Powell. And it's to the extent that Trump really does want interest rate cuts, I think he's done himself a disservice fighting with Powell because Powell's a stubborn central banker who wants to, you know, hold his own narrative and make his own decisions as he's technically supposed to. Greer, what was your take on this though? Because this is, Tony, hang on, let me step back. This is sort of my concern. People are going to run from one bank to the next because their regional bank collapsed. And so now they need another one. And then eventually they're going to our earlier point, move into stable coins because that's not a bank as far as they're concerned. And we have people escaping time and time again to the wrong life raft, the other life rafts that are also sinking. So Greer, give your thought on this.
Yeah, I think that Powell is trying to stick the soft landing. And I agree that anytime that Trump pushes him around and says he's too slow, it looks to me as an outsider that it just hardens Jerome's position. So I think we know that the money printer is going to be turned on. They're ending the QT starting in December. And, you know, there's trillions of dollars of debt that needs to be rolled over. So, you know, I think the right answer would be to lower interest rates more. And I think we got a huge dip in the market and in Bitcoin's price because people were looking for forward guidance that was more than a 25 basis point cut. So it's definitely you can place the blame at the feet of the central bankers. You know, they've manipulated this market and our money for far too long. And I think the good news is that people are rushing into hard assets. You know, I think Bitcoin is better than gold. But I think that anytime you're trying to save yourself from a dying system, that is a good thing. I think our job is to help people understand that while gold might have its advantages, it is not nearly as superior as Bitcoin for a variety of reasons. So I think that the more financial pain is coming, you know, the small regional bank crisis is real. The repo market is very tight right now. And where's the good news coming from? You know, and I think that remains to be seen, that is a long way off. And we've talked at length about the job situation in America as well. So really, this is no better time. There's no better time to buy Bitcoin. And while we might have been bored by the price, it stayed in a reachable area where you could spend a certain amount of your paycheck every month for the entire year and have a pretty decent size allocation if you were disciplined. So to me, that's the answer. You know, appreciate the lower price, the sideways trading price in Bitcoin, and just get as much as you possibly can.
Yeah, I don't think you're ever going to go wrong blaming central banks for a lot of things merely by virtue of their existence. Tony, anything you want to add here before we move on to another one of your favorites?
Very quickly, man. This is an internal war within that club that you don't belong to. And they don't care about anybody else other than sticking it to one another. But the problem is, you know, everybody else, like the general population, are going to be the casualties of whatever stupidities these guys bounce back and forth amongst each other. So again, if you don't want to be a victim of this complete mess, you have got to play outside that chessboard.
All righty. So someone tweeted that the 1X Neo home robot is not actually autonomous. Tony, I can't wait to hear your thoughts on this. Behind the scenes, it'll often be teleoperated by humans, meaning someone somewhere could literally remote control a robot inside your living room. They said, I wanted the dawn of embodied AI. Instead, I'm apparently paying $500 a month for a robot avatar with a human pilot. Comment on that first, Tony, and then we've got another one that we'll show here in a minute.
Yeah, I mean, this is terrifying. This is not what I was referring to when I was talking about the integration of humanoids with human beings. This is just a very creepy project that everyone should stay away from. I mean, you absolutely don't want somebody remote controlling a robot like this in your own home. I can't believe this is actually a thing, but, you know, it's good, I guess, that, you know, light's being shed on this. So people are aware and stay far, far away.
Yeah. Greer, do you have any comment on that, or do you want to get to this video here?
I've loved just seeing all of the video from this ridiculous product. I mean, the fact that it's remotely operated by someone else completely just destroys the reason for having one in the first place. So I hope that this one, I hope we learn our lesson, you know, and we don't need these humanoid robots spying on us, listening to us, and without any being able to be trusted, you know, like, do not bring this thing into your home.
Yeah. The day that Start Nine or someone like that, it creates their own humanoid, maybe I'll take a look at what it can do. All open source people that I, you know, have come to trust, because of the work that they do. Maybe I'll take a look, but until then, I'm just going to assume there's someone on the back end, you know, manipulating it, pulling the strings and invading my privacy. Okay, let's look at this video real quick. This is, it says we're screwed. It's become indistinguishable from reality. And you can see in this video, someone talking, hand gestures, and they've basically placed an AI avatar over the top of that.
大家晚上好啊，今天发现了一种方法，很奇妙，可以快速的改变你的样貌，比如说这样，是不是毫无违和感？或者是再换一个，以后可以快速的去更换你任意的一个形象，然后去做直播、录视频。
Alrighty, so pretty creepy stuff. Cool, like cool tech, but also concerning. This is, by the way, one of my concerns with this is there are a lot of companies who verify KYC information using things like video call, photos. We've seen stories similar to this. I think we covered like a passport that had been AI generated and passed a KYC check or something to that effect. If it hasn't already happened with certainty, it will. And this to me feels like a huge security gap for a lot of companies. They're going to have to come up with more creative ways. I'm bullish that someone's going to find, you know, good and reasonable solutions for doing so. But in the meantime, you know, I think that's a huge vulnerability. Tony, cybersecurity perspective, and share what your thoughts on the AI tech.
Man, this one's a tricky one, because on one side, it's extremely exciting that you can do this. But on the other side, we are entering the age of, Harry Houdini here. You're not going to know what's real from fake anymore when you have a lot of these things all over the place. I mean, of course, in good hands, you know, people are going to produce, you know, like things that are extremely like impressive. But as every piece of tech, there's always some clown out there that uses it for the wrong reasons and, you know, causes a domino chain of problems, which, of course, governments, you know, love to pick on as an excuse to come down even harder with their solution of surveillance and control. So you have to be very careful with these things. But unfortunately, I don't know how this thing can be managed or controlled. I mean, this is all open source tech. You know, the genie's out of the box now. It's like there's no putting it back. And so we're going to have to, for one, you know, adjust to this new way of life, but more importantly, be aware and, you know, up our skills to hopefully be able to detect, you know, the real from the fake. Because as of now, most people will not understand anything, and there's going to be tons of people duped with all sorts of situations. I mean, just wait for it. This is until we get to a certain level of understanding and know-how, this could be a real mess.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think, interestingly, one of the biggest fallouts from this is going to be the dating scene. So there are going to be a lot of guys with chiseled jaws, 20 more pounds of muscle, 10% body fat, showing up on dates looking like Danny DeVito. And you're going to have to wait and find out then. Greer, what's your take?
Totally agree. This is scary, dystopian. I think the future is you won't be able to believe anything unless you can see it personally, unless you're talking to the person from across the table or in the room with you. You know, these are nightmare scenarios. You know, imagine as a parent getting a video from someone that looks like it looks to be your kid and they need help, or, you know, your parents, your elderly parents who get a call from you if your face has been swapped. You know, the deception is going to be rampant. You know, maybe there will be some funny memes. Absolutely, it'll be used for humor and entertainment. But the flip side of that coin is this will likely be used by criminals. So I don't have anything other than a warning to add to this. But the future's here, and it's scary.
Yeah,
this is going to be a big problem to politicians if you think about it. Like, I mean, they're probably going to be like the first target that people go after, and, you know, and like releasing videos all over the place, and that's going to be entertaining.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think Greer, the point you made, you know, about these deep fakes being made to, you know, solicit some sort of reaction or an emergency response, I think that's going to be a really big problem. And it's going to perhaps force us into scenarios where we have to, have like GPS tracking for all of our family members. So when those moments emerge, and now we open like a whole new can of worms of people just trying to protect their loved ones, make sure that they're not being duped by some scam. It's truly scary stuff.
Yeah, you go try to sell that to your wife. Tell her, honey, I'm about to tag you because I'm worried about you. And let me know what she tells you.
It's not a path we've gone down for obvious reasons. All righty. Up next, let's watch this video as well. Elon Musk on Bitcoin. This is, I think Adam talked on Bitcoin Banter Live on Wednesday a bit about this, and he said that this video has more or less been wiped from the internet. He managed to find it and share it shortly after. But there's just a quick 14-second clip.
AI can't defy fundamental math.
Yeah.
So, we can improve the efficiency of Bitcoin hashing algorithms in the silicon, but not fundamentally crack it.
All righty. So, Bitcoin, you can't crack Bitcoin, says Elon Musk, wealthiest man in the world. I think Tesla still owns lots of Bitcoin, although they stopped accepting it for payment a few years ago. But I think it's Signal. And would be curious, Tony, to what extent you think these sorts of videos resurfacing might have an impact on people who are, you know, paying attention, curious, getting into Bitcoin.
Of course, man. This is pure signal. These are the type of videos and educational content you should be, you know, you should be swallowing, because this tells you exactly what's going on and why there's so much interest in Bitcoin, especially from these big players, governments, institutions, and all these, you know, the wrong folks are finally paying attention to Bitcoin, unfortunately. And there's a reason, because they know this. And so if they're bullish on it and they're concocting all sorts of creative ideas to separate the ignorant masses from their coins, it should tell you something. It should tell you that this is where the future is headed. And those are the signals that you should be paying attention to, not your next door neighbor or your retarded cousin that tells you it's a scam, right? I mean, pay attention to where the money is going.
I agree. Greer, what do you think?
If your financial advisor thinks Bitcoin is too risky, then just listen to, you know, one of the world's most wealthy people who thinks that Bitcoin is unhackable and can't be broken. So I think that Elon, you know, there's lots of Bitcoiners that want him to talk more about it. But the truth is, it doesn't matter what Elon thinks. You know, it's great that he recognizes what it is, but Bitcoin is for you to figure out. This is for the individual to take all your energy and all your time, put it into Bitcoin and save your wealth. And I think that the signal this year has been, you know, that this has been a great time to buy Bitcoin. You know, while the world is wrapped up in crypto and stable coins and DeFi and all of these tokenized products, Bitcoin is the thing that everybody wants. And so I think we're playing a game of musical chairs. I've said it before. It's time to get a seat before the music stops.
I agree. Well said. I think I don't care what Elon says about Bitcoin, but to the extent it makes people curious, I think that's fantastic. All righty, guys. Up last, we have breaking. Binance is dumping millions of Bitcoin and ETH to liquidate longs after the U.S.-China deal. Pure exchange manipulation. Greer, do you, I don't think there's like irrefutable evidence of this, but there's speculation. Do you think, I'm just, you know, if you were to guess, is it happening? And if so, what would your reaction to that be?
It's a great point. This is speculative, in my opinion. We don't know if this is happening for sure, but it looks like from this post that a large exchange dumps coins on the market. They're able to liquidate either the short or the long, depending on the situation, collect all of the money from those users, their customers, and then repurchase the Bitcoin. So is the market manipulated? Sure, but every market's manipulated. I think the point here is don't panic when the price goes lower. It's actually an opportunity for you. I think Bitcoin will be where we want it to be at some point in the near future. And so this is a gift. You know, if the you can take advantage of any manipulative games by making sure that you have some dry powder, that you're dollar cost averaging, that every day you're getting more Bitcoin than the day before, regardless of the amount, whether it's 100 sats or 10,000 sats. So that to me is the point of Bitcoin in the stage we're in today.
Yeah. And to clarify, it's only a gift for people who aren't playing fiat games, shorting or longing Bitcoin, and are just buying and stacking sats. Tony, how do you avoid these fiat games?
Yeah, of course you avoid all this nonsense, man. Even though, you know, you can't prove it with 100% certainty, I'm almost 100% sure this is what's happening, because it just makes sense. All these people that are trading Bitcoin, for example, and are, you know, worth adding all sorts of leverage to it, well, the platform, the exchange that you're doing this on, well, they can see you. It's not like you're like this invisible Casper and like hopefully, you know, nobody's looking when you're doing it. Trust me, they're all looking. And now they've got AI bots that are looking for them when, you know, they're off doing whatever. So no one's going to get away with this. I mean, they wait until enough, you know, fools pile up in whichever direction, whether it's longs or shorts. And then, you know, when it gets juicy enough, then they drop the hammer. How? They have all the liquidity to do it. They've got like thousands of Bitcoin, you know, in order to do this. So for them, it's like a 10-second process. They dump it, you lose, they scoop it up, rinse and repeat. But, you know, people don't seem to learn that lesson. You know, they think that the next time they're going to be quicker or smarter or somehow sharper. And yet, you know, at some point, you know, they lose everything. And I keep telling folks, stop doing it, because no one's going to feel sorry for you when you go bankrupt.
Yeah, just study Bitcoin, buy it or earn it, and take self-custody and sit back and watch the fireworks, because there should be plenty here in the coming months and years. Alrighty, guys, I think it's a good place to wrap up. Thanks for joining. For everyone who tuned in, we really appreciate it. Stick around for another minute, learn a bit about the Bitcoin way, how we can help you do some of the things that we described, and we'll be back again next week. Gents, good chatting.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Cheers. Hey there, thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth, and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want a backup in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.